It is Thursday as we await some uncertainty here in Florida's capital city. What is up with the storm? Where will it go? What will it do? We're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to focus on something else because today is Thursday and it is Perspectives Day on WFSU-FM. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for being at the other end of the radio waves, the telephone line, the Twitter device, the email machine, and the multitude of ways we have to make our thoughts and feelings and concerns known to each other nowadays. Ain't modern life a blast? 414-1234 is the local number. Here in the greater Tallahassee Metro, it's 800-926-8809. If long distance, we have an email address. Yay, perspectives@wfsu.org. Or you can tweet us at WFSU Perspective. Man, if you just check out the list of organizations that we have in this general area that service children, providers of all kinds of special programs and initiatives and that sort of thing. But few of these organizations have the history of the Children's Home Society. It began operations way back in 1964. Where were you in 1964? Or were you in 1964? Well, over the years, CHS has expanded its portfolio from things like adoption to emergency shelter care and counseling and treatment for abused and neglected kids. The agency also helps infants and toddlers who have disabilities, and it also provides a wide range of in-home services that strengthen and preserve families. We've had that discussion here before, haven't we? So let's go around the table and meet some folks who are associated with Children's Home Society right here in the Tallahassee-Leon County area. And first, going on my left, your right on the radio, we say hello and good morning to Kevin Winship, Director of Program Operations for Children's Home Society. And Kevin, good to have you here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Right next door, we have a young lady by the name of Rebecca Simmons. Through the Children's Home Society, she adopted Christina, who is also one of the stars in the upcoming Wish Upon a Star event. And great to have you here, Rebecca.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Okay, and was it tough to get Christina to go along with that idea of being an actual star in this whole thing?
No, not even. She was very excited about it. She's a little shy in front of the camera, but she was very excited to share our story.
That is awesome. Well, we want to share your story here in just a little bit, so thanks again for coming in. Nick Raines also joins us, independent living program supervisor for CHS, whose program's also being featured at Wish Upon a Star, as is Sam, who is one of your clients, and welcome. Good to have you, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, and before we move on, tell us about Sam.
All right, so Sam is one of our rock stars that we have in our program that was just doing a lot of great things. So we just wanted to highlight his story. He actually landed a job with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. He was up for promotion, and so he has a lot of goals and things he wants to achieve. So we helping him do that. So we just want to highlight his story.
Oh, wow. How old is Sam now?
Sam is 21 years old.
Okay, yeah, whole life spread out there, man. And he's with FWC, so that's very, very cool. And finally, we say hi to Lindsay Elliott, Wish Upon a Star event chair and board member for Children's Home Society. And we appreciate your coming on board, Lindsay.
Well, thank you for having us. We're very glad to be here.
Okay, well, since you are the chair, boy, it falls to you to talk about what is Wish Upon a Star? What is this thing?
Wish Upon a Star is the fall fundraiser that Children's Home Society hosts. This is our seventh year, I believe, and I've been involved for the last four. And we are hosting this year, October 20th. It's a Friday night at Goodwood Museum and Gardens at the Carriage House there. And really, it is a very fun night. We have live music, lots of food, vendors. You can have a party. And we have silent and live auctions that are highlighted. And it's just a night to come together, learn more about CHS and the programs, spend some money, and help raise money for the kids.
Oh, music, food, fun, frolic, all that stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's get the whole range of things, because full disclosure, a very wonderful young lady by the name of Natasha gave me the back tour of the Children's Home Society here a couple months ago. And I think that was, Ms. Fisher? I think it was about 2 months ago, I think. Yeah, somewhere around there. Because she wanted us to have a little bit more of an appreciation and an understanding of the kinds of things that the Children's Home Society does. And I thought I knew. at least a little bit about it. But it turned out I was nearly completely clueless. So if I could ask you, Kevin Winship, to give us kind of the 30,000-foot overview of Children's Home Society, because it started, as we said at the outset, kind of an adoption sort of thing, and now you guys are all over the place.
We are. We actually started in 1902 statewide, and our job was adoptions back then. And we have grown over the last 100. It'll be our 115th birthday coming up this November. But we've done everything from adoptions and foster care to our child protection team program funded through the Department of Health to a child advocacy center to our early steps program, which works with developmental delays. Basically, if there is a need for children or families in our area, we either provide the service or we partner with the agency that makes it happen.
Okay, because so many people think, oh, well, that is the Florida Department of Children and Families. They do all this. They have, they put out the pictures of kids who are up for adoption, and you get to meet them at various events. And so that, or a private adoption agency, those are considered the main adoption organizations. But you guys, how many in a year? How many kids do you place in Forever Homes?
Well, it depends. This year, we're on track to place over 80 children in Forever Homes out of foster care.
Wow. Well, one of the people who took advantage of that certainly is Rebecca Simmons. And that's how you found Christina. How did that come to be?
Well, initially, I started fostering just with the idea of opening my home and helping kids out temporarily. That I just, I bought a house. I had two of my friends as roommates, and then within a couple months, they both, one of them got married and one of them moved into a different thing, and I had an empty house. So. And I can't remember the moment, but I know that I think I saw something on Facebook or something that was talking about foster care. So started to kind of let the idea kind of just kind of wrestled around with it. And I'm a single female, so I thought, you know, that I've always wanted to adopt, but I thought it would be too expensive at this point. You know, like whenever I'm thinking about adoption, I'm thinking of how people, you know, overseas and how expensive it is and all that. And so so I just started with fostering, and Christina was my second kid to come into my house. And she, you know, from the minute she walked in and the story with her being placed in my house, it was all kind of clear that there was a little something more to this connection. So we walked through some really difficult stuff together with my mind still thinking that this was temporary. And I think there was just a little progression there where I've started to feel like, man, if she went to somebody else as a forever home, I'd be pretty upset, you know. And people were commenting, you know. And our wonderful caseworker, she kept asking me. She said, "Are you sure? You know, are you sure about this?" And then, you know, when I had decided, and I talked to my parents because I work a weird hours, but so I was going to need help. And so I talked to them, and they were very, you know, on board. And so then I called Verlina, her caseworker at Children's Home Society, and she said, "I knew it. I knew this was coming," you know. And but it was just it was just natural. There was a connection there, and she so then our you know, there was certain things that had to fall in place for me to be able to adopt her. And we finalized on July 7th of this last year, or this year, 7/7/17.
And I can tell just from the expression in your eyes, you cannot imagine life without her right now.
Not even close, yeah, yeah.
It's an incredible story, so yeah. Well, let's find out about Nick and Sam. So how did that evolve?
Okay, so Sam, he works with the case manager, Samantha. And so I just kind of sit back and I get an overview of all how the young adults are doing. If if I see one that really need a little bit more help, maybe a little more guidance, I'll step in. But if I also see one that may be doing real well and I just want to take them to the next level, I kind of step in also. So Sam, what makes him different is that Sam has goals. You know, Sam's, and he's already 21 and he really knows what he want to do already. So when I see something like that, I'm like, okay, you already got a plan, because a lot of them still trying to figure, you know, what they want to do out around that age. But Sam is like, listen, I want to be a chef. You know, I want to open a mentoring program. And I'm like, this guy's 21. And it's like, I didn't even have, you know, I didn't know what I want to do at that age. So I'm like, man, listen, if you want to do that, then I got schools that we can go to, like Lively offers a culinary arts school. You become a chef, you know, and then from that, then you can start your mentoring program. So I just seen this guy had a lot of passion, you know, a lot of aspiration. I just want to step in and just kind of cultivate that and just kind of guide him.
Now, he's got a job at Fish and Wildlife
Conservation. Yes, he had a job at Fish and Wildlife, and he kind of stepped away from that because now he's pursuing his culinary arts degree. So, yeah, so he had a job at Fish and Wildlife, and then he kind of like, I kind of helped him, like, Sam, what do you really want to do at this point? He's like, I really want to do this. I really want to become a chef. I say, listen, let's go ahead and jump in Lively real quick. The program is only like 45 weeks, so less than a year, and let's go ahead and make that happen. So the thing is, he was already in school, so he realized he couldn't do both at the time. So he wanted to focus on his education, so he stepped away from Fish and Wildlife, and so now he's going to be starting culinary arts school to become a chef.
Wow, he could be the next Chef Shack or
That's
something,
right.
You know?
That's right. He got his own name and everything already picked out. He got his own dishes that he's talking about he want to have.
He's so, negotiating with Food Network.
Yes, you know, exactly. Yeah. That's what's next.
Well, folks, in case you're just joining us here on WFSU's Perspectives, we are talking with some folks who are connected with a program called the Children's Home Society. We shouldn't call it a program. It is a wide assortment of services. It's an organization, it's an agency, and it does an awful lot of things for kids in our area beyond the aforementioned adoption and mentoring and those sorts of things. And we'd love to hear from you. Do you have an adoptive child that you'd like to talk about? Maybe brag on just a little bit. Do you have some dealings that were previous to this with the Children's Home Society, and you want to talk about that? That's why we're here. 414-1234 is the local number, or 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address, or you can send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. A reminder also that you can always find the programs online, usually within 24 hours, actually after they appear on the radio. We try to have that up on WFSU.org so you can go back and listen to the program in perpetuity, forever and ever. Amen. More to come right here on Perspectives. Don't run off. Back on Perspectives, Children's Home Society of Florida, what we're talking about here today. The local branch opened in Tallahassee in 1964, but back in 1905, that was when Kevin Winship, the first state Children's Home Society in Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh my gosh. Now, you said that the records starting back then are still, that's the repository for all that.
We still maintain a central adoptions archives in Jacksonville. That is, it's fully staffed, and we have records that go back, I don't know if they go back all the way to 1902, but they go back fairly far. And I was just saying, you know, probably not a week goes by that I don't get a phone call in my office about somebody looking for information on a birth parent or a sibling or... It's pretty neat.
Historically, that used to be trying to like get into the CIA archives. You could not do that. Has that changed?
You know, I don't know all the laws and standards around it. We have a tremendous team out there, though, that answers all my questions if I need them. So I usually just plug people in with our Jacksonville team, and they make it happen as much as they can.
Well, there's a lot more than just adoption, which is facilitated through Children's Home Society. You have things like community-based foster care, child protection team, and when Natasha was giving me the grand tour of your headquarters there off of Miccosukee Road, there was a very special, low-key, calm enclave for kids who have been through some really nasty stuff. Who wants to talk about that? Those kinds of services. You get a call. It's 3 a.m. Some child is in mortal danger. And what happens?
So I can go with that. We have the first floor of our building is actually a newly accredited child advocacy center. And what that is a combination of agencies and programs for us where we can respond to children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even through events like the hurricane. Our doors stay open for that. And we work primarily with DCF and law enforcement to provide specialized medical and mental health services as they investigate suspected abuse and neglect. We have a team of pediatric sexual assault examiners. We have a team of forensic interviewers. We have medical professionals who are a subspecialty in child abuse pediatrics. And they can work with children from the time the abuse report comes in until the time DCF takes action or decides that nothing, in fact, occurred. And then our counseling program is also tied in. We have the area's sexual abuse treatment program, which works with kids who have been victims of sexual abuse and physical abuse. So ideally, a child can come into our very child-friendly environment, have their examination done, their forensic interview done, work with DCF, law enforcement, the state attorney, and meet their therapist all in a short period of time.
And this isn't like an emergency room environment with all the beeping, clicking machines and all.
It's not. No. In fact, our goal is to keep kids out of the emergency room where they're seen by people who understand children and understand abuse and understand neglect and make sure it's not a scary and traumatic environment and that it's as peaceful and calm and loving as we can make it.
So much has been said about not so much our little part of the world right now, but there are many other points in the country where the whole opioid situation has just spun beyond out of control and is now catastrophic. Are we seeing any of that locally now, and is it impacting kids?
Absolutely. We have, as of today, 285 children in out-of-home care. 285 kids have been removed from their families because of abuse and neglect just in our area. And I'm not saying all those are opioid-based cases, but in my experience, I think Nick can chime in too. The amount of opioid cases, drug abuse cases, domestic violence cases, we've seen them go up and up and up. And it is, I think we're just starting to see the beginning of it.
Yeah. And Nick, what happens to those kids then?
So what happens to those kids is that, you know, if after the investigation and then those kids are kind of turned over to Children's Home Society and they receive services. And so if it is some type of drug abuse or things of that nature, then we have different services that the parents will receive, like drug rehab, you know, inpatient, outpatient, whatever it may be, you know, to try to get them the treatment that they need so they can go back and parent the kid without being under the influence.
Wow, okay. Now, Rebecca, in the case of Christina, did you get like a comprehensive history? Christina was born here. Here's what she did. Her favorite color is blue. Whatever.
Yeah. I got kind of especially at the very beginning, I got kind of an overview, not very detailed. But as we walked her story, you know, it all just became a little bit more obvious. And then, you know, we walked through a trial of her abuser. And so it was it. But at the beginning, I was told enough to know that, you know, that she was she has a long road ahead of her. So a lot of healing that needs to happen, and it probably continue to happen for the rest of her life. So.
Yeah, because it's we were talking out in the little lobby area before we actually got in here in the show about how there is now a reconstruction process that is underway, which is something that you got to be an absolute focus of to help facilitate that, to give her you'd almost say normal. What's normal? But right. Uncomplicated and much nicer life than she had before.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, it really takes it's been a journey for me to step back and know that a lot of the behavior things that we deal with are basically they've been protective mechanisms for most of her life instead of feeling personally attacked when she, you know, when she blows up and gets mad at something small, I can, you know, it just takes a constant mindset that I have to remind myself all the time that that parenting her is different than parenting a child that has not been abused from very early ages. And so she, you know, so it's definitely takes a different perspective to facilitate healing and just instead of lots of punishments and such, it's understanding and encouraging a different way. You know, this is the way that you used for a long time to protect yourself, but you don't need to do that anymore. So this is what we'll do now. And it's going to be a process. You're going to fail sometimes. I fail all the time, you know. And so encouraging the journey toward healing, not normalcy, because, you know, I can't erase her past, but I can't erase the scars that have happened, but I can help her heal and understand that the future can be better.
Lindsay Elliott, and if you're just joining us again, the fall fundraiser for the Children's Home Society, October 20th at Goodwood Museum and Gardens, and it will be a gala. But beyond the need for cash, which all nonprofit organizations have, what about volunteers and human resources, other kinds of help? You guys need that too?
Well, I think there are various ways we utilize volunteers through CHS, not only through this program, but through various programs and various campaigns we're running at all times. We have a WISH committee that's made up solely of volunteers, and then we're utilizing volunteers within the community to help the night of the event set up, monitoring the auctions, helping us with food, clean up after those kind of things. And we do have a volunteer coordinator that works at CHS that helps coordinate and put those staffings together for these events and for different programs.
Yeah, what's the biggest need right now, Kevin? Do you know?
Well, right now, outside of our big event coming up, which we need a lot of help with, everything from setup to cleanup, we have a big Christmas drive. Like I said, we've got 285 kids in out-of-home care right now. We serve over 2,000 clients a year, and we like to make Christmas great for those families. So one of the things we have a huge need for is Christmas presents, food. We do Thanksgiving food drive. And we always need school supplies. And we have a residential shelter here in town for children under 10 years old, and sibling groups have been removed from their families. We always need help with basic hygiene items and diapers and just items that can support families as they try and rebuild.
I recall reading an article here, and a friend of mine who follows this very, very closely also reemphasized it, that there is an increase in the number of out-of-home child cases right now. It's like up, what, 11% or something like that?
Unfortunately, it's up, and that is despite DCF's great efforts to try and keep kids in homes. I can't tell you why it's going up. We have more kids in out-of-home care, and our job really to heal families and to get kids into safe environments and back with their parents if at all possible is not slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, not to put you on the spot here, Nick Baines, but you have people like Rebecca who say, gimme. You know, I'm willing to make this journey. I am going to give of myself. I'm going to build a new life with a new person that I will love as my own. How do people blow their kids off? How does this happen?
Well, you know, a lot of times abuse starts, you know, when they were kids also. So a lot of times it's perpetual, you know. They didn't get the love, they didn't get the nourishment that they needed as kids, and then those kids become parents. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, you can't really give what you wasn't taught. Let somebody else give you that, you know, and teach you how to parent. Like, yes, I know what I've been through, but I don't have to do it that way. You know, it is a better way. So that's how a lot of times it happens. Like, we, and Kevin sees this all the time, we have kids that have kids that have kids in care. You see what I'm saying? So it's like they started as a kid in care. They become a parent. They have a kid in care. And then that kid sometimes becomes a kid in care.
Because that's normal. This is what happens.
That's their normal, right?
That's their normal. Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, you've got other things like the Early Steps program. This isn't just for kids who are on the cusp of adolescence. This even goes back to little itty-bitty tiny kids, right?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. Early Steps is a fantastic program, that it's non-abuse and neglect related. It's something we do that works just with children and their families from 0 to 3 years old who are at risk or who have developmental delays or medical issues. And our Early Steps team works to get those kids all the services they need to get back on track by the time they enter the school system.
Well, it sounds like there's an awful lot of additional resources that you need as part of this partnership. It's not all Children's Home Society. It's DCF. It's other service providers. So how do those partnerships work? It's a little down in the weeds here, but obviously you can't do it all your own, so you got to bring in other community resources to help out.
You have to. Nobody can do this on their own. We value our partnership with DCF, with Big Bend Community-Based Care, with DISC Village, with all the different child-serving agencies here in town. There's never enough people to get the job done, so it requires every agency pitching in and doing it. And we could go on for hours about the great things that each agency is doing in this town.
Yeah, but you also need to recruit other folks here. And go ahead.
That I was just going to mention, just as an experience that lends to this, my sister had a preemie, 28-week-old baby about 3 years ago, and when he came out of the NICU, we immediately got hooked up with the Beginning Steps, and it wasn't because he had a diagnosed delay of any kind. Excuse me, Early Steps. But it was because they wanted to do diagnostic and they wanted to work with my sister and her husband and Dayton on monitoring his development so that he was in a position to get caught up. And then, of course, once they hit three, they transition into where the school system can provide additional, there's a very distinct pass off where they really can stay as much as they need within whatever the therapies are, be it speech, occupational, physical therapy. He is still doing some speech therapy, but other than that, he is phased out of the others and transitioned very well into the school system helping him. So that was a personal experience that I had with somebody in my family that benefited from that greatly.
Okay, now does this focus primarily on children who have undergone abuse and neglect and terrible things? There are a lot of folks who do everything right. They have wonderful, loving families, and there is a catastrophic problem with the kid.
No, Early Steps is great because we've had clients in Early Steps. We've been doing it for 20 years. We've had homeless clients, and we've had local celebrities as clients. It is open to anybody regardless. The only thing they need to have is a child who needs our services.
Okay, and that's a very important qualification to get those. Carrie joins us here on Line 1. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for calling. Welcome to Perspectives.
Well, thank you so much, and hello to you. I've heard a lot about Children's Home Society, and I think it's just a wonderful organization. And today I've heard you talk about a couple of ways that folks can get involved. I'm curious about the upcoming fall fundraiser. Is there a way to learn more about that event? That's my first question. And then secondly, I've also heard you talk about just straight donations that are needed by Children's Home Society. Where would we bring those if we had some?
Oh, wonderful. We have, certainly for the first part of the answer, Carrie, we've got Lindsay Elliott here, since she is the chair of the Wish Upon a Star fundraising event. So what you say, Lindsay?
Hi, Carrie. Thank you for your call. I wanted to share a couple of ways that you could obtain additional information about the event. The first is by visiting our website at chsfl.org/wish. At that website, you'll have all the event information, sponsorship, ticket information, really everything you need. You can also reach out to our charitable givings director, Anna Kay Hutchison. And her number is 850-219-4205. And she is available to meet or answer any questions by phone and provide additional information as well. And you're certainly able to reach out to me at any time as well at 850-545-2463.
Okay, now you've also got a big closet out there. You guys got several big closets out there, and you've got clothes and toiletries and all kinds of goodies that you have stockpiled for the kids who come in, who need these things. So is that also where Carrie can drop things off?
Yes, at our main office, 1801 Miccosukee Commons Drive. You can make any drop-offs there. Just walk into the front lobby and someone there will be happy to assist you. And feel free to reach out as well to the office or to Anna Kay, again, at 850-219-4205. And we would be glad to make arrangements if necessary to pick things up or to assist in answering questions about what would be most beneficial.
Carrie, thank you so much for caring. We really appreciate that, and thank you. Let me ask you, if I can, Rebecca, on the whole situation here with Christina. Your dreams, aspirations for your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Well, predominantly, I just really want I really want a healing to take place. She's already really just blessed my heart because she, on the adoption day, she said, because court is kind of it's been for several years a very anxiety-producing just experience for her. And so she, we had to go to court one last time for the adoption. And so she was talking to all of us and she said, well, and we were just saying, this is the last time in court. And she said, well, unless I have to go as an adult. And so all of us were very like, well, we hope you don't have to go as an adult. And she said, well, no, when I foster or when I'm adopting, so just very, she's just such a kind-hearted kid, and so facilitating the dreams that are within her and facilitating the desire and the knowledge that she can do these things. She is coming out of her little trauma hold, and she is, kind of looking at the world around her. So just seeing, I just really want to see her blossom, and just understand she loves horses and animals. And, she thinks she wants to be a vet, but she's afraid it's going to be too hard, and all these kind of things where, I just want her to know that she can do hard things and she can move into the healthy place that she really wants to be.
And like Nick said, you are giving her a new normal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. We're talking about the Children's Home Society here in the Tallahassee-Leon County area, the multitude of services and resources it provides to kids. And we have barely scratched the surface. We got a lot more to talk about, and we're going to do that on the other side of this break. If you want to join the conversation, and Brittany is awaiting to do that on the other side of this timeout, it's 414-1234, 800-926-8809, or perspectives at WFSU.org. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives. It is Thursday. Oh, by the way, just quick little program note here. Just in case we should have an untoward circumstance involving this storm, which if it gets heavy, I think they're going to call it Nate. I think that's the deal. If it would pose a direct threat to our area, of course, WFSU will be going on full weather alert like we did during Irma. We'll be coordinating our coverage with the city of Tallahassee and Leon County through the public safety complex out there on Easterwood Drive. We'll be providing you with information about what resources are available and what roads are open and what's closed and where the water is and where it's not and all that kind of good stuff. We hope that is not necessary, but if it is, we will be here to help you through the next crisis, which we are hoping and praying does not come. Brittany joins us on line one. Thanks for your patience, Brittany. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Sure. So I'm really interested in attending the Wish Upon a Star event, and I was hoping you could tell me more about some of the auction items that will be available at the fundraiser.
Oh, she's interested. Hey, Lindsay, what you got?
Absolutely. Thank you for your call. We are going to have a lot of really specialty items. I can tell you a little bit about some of the live auction packages we're putting together. We'll have a Springer Spaniel puppy available, along with veterinary care and training, whether it be obedience training, hunting training, if that's something that you're interested in. We will also have a beach trip to 30A, a week-long beach trip will be offered. We also have coming up a shotgun has been acquired. We're going to be auctioning off a turkey hunting shotgun. Those are a few of the items. And then, of course, our silent auction will have a large amount of varying items, everything from artwork by some local artist. We're going to have a couple of live artists at the event that will actually be painting live and auctioning off their drawings or paintings. We will also have lots of things, everything from camp packages, swimming lessons, it's going to be more than you can imagine, for sure. But we think we'll have something in there for everybody and are excited to have everybody come out and check it out in person.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that, Brittany, and hope you can be out there for the fall fundraiser, October 20th, Goodwood Museum and Gardens. Some things we haven't chatted about, you've got, even down in St. Mark's, let's face it, there are some great needs in outlying more rural areas of our area. And Kevin Winship, what about the St. Mark's Emergency Shelter? What's up with that?
So it's a little bit of a misnomer. Our St. Mark's Emergency Shelter is actually in the Tallahassee area, not down in St. Mark's.
Really?
But it is there are certain kids with special needs who need immediate emergency placement after they've been removed from their home. And a foster home or a group facility that is able to meet their needs is not immediately available. We've got the St. Mark's Emergency Shelter, which can be staffed in within 2 hours' notice to provide a home-like environment for children while we get a more permanent, appropriate placement for them.
So is that what usually happens then, that a call comes in from law enforcement or whatever and says, we just removed a child from a really bad home situation and this young person needs to be somewhere safe for an indeterminate period of time? You guys go into full response mode or what?
Well, the great thing is that speaks to our partnership with the Department of Children and Families, and their team of investigators would be the ones that would actually do the removal. They'd work with law enforcement in a situation like that, and they would be contacted through our team with Big Bend Community-Based Care and their placement team to get the necessary arrangements. So there'd be multiple programs and teams of people involved to make that happen.
How does that differentiate from Treehouse? That's another similar kind of response mechanism you got there.
So Treehouse is great. Our system relies on foster parents to work. These kids need loving homes where they can get individualized attention, but sometimes there are needs where a foster home just can't do it. And we're seeing a lot more of these large sibling groups come into care, out-of-home care. So where you have a foster parent who may be willing to take one or two kids, that's awesome, and we love it, and we love our foster parents. I could mention that 100 times. But sometimes there's sibling groups of 4, 5, and 6 that come into out-of-home care that are removed from their parents for some reason. And I'll tell you, one of the worst things in life that could happen to you is be removed from your parents. But I think the real runner-up to that would be being removed from your parents and then being removed from your siblings and being split up into different foster homes. So that Treehouse steps in and meets a really important need of being able to take care of large sibling groups of children in a loving, amazing environment. Most of our team members at Treehouse have between 15 and 25 years of working with kids at Treehouse. It is just a fantastic program.
I can imagine that is not the sort of thing that you just get 15 minutes of, here's the policies and procedures, and you throw them into that situation. That can be incredibly difficult, yeah, challenging, and sensitive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All of our team, whether it's Treehouse or Independent Living, we undergo a minimum of 40 hours training on different topics every single year that we work. New employees sometimes takes between 3 and 6 months to get the training they need to do their job.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Let's hit the phones again. George is online, too. Hi, George. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hello there. I've got another perhaps stupid question. Is this place associated with the place out on 90 that you can buy stuff from, and there was arson a while back, Children's Lighthouse?
No, Children's Lighthouse. Is there a connection there, Kevin Winship?
We're not associated with them. They're a private, faith-based organization that works with children.
And the name of the organization that we're talking about presently is what again?
Children's Home Society.
Home Society.
Yes, sir.
Do you go to Second Harvest for food? Because I might be able to help out with that, or someone else may be able to help out with that. Obviously, children need to eat, right?
Yes, sir. George, we do have some of our young adults and some of our families may go to Second Harvest and get the supplies that they need for their families.
Okay. I apologize. I tuned in late, and I just heard that the children thing, and I wasn't actually tuned in all the way, obviously, as to what your organization does. It sounds fantastic. It sounds, you know, children are our future, and let's give them as bright a one as possible, right?
Thank you, George.
Absolutely. Great.
We sure appreciate the call, George. Thanks so much. And we can even hook you up with Natasha. She can give you the grand tours. It is such an incredible facility that the Children's Home Society has out off of Miccosukee Road. And if you are headed out from TMH on Miccosukee, you are not quite to Capitol Circle yet. And the last real right-hand turn you can make is the one that will take you to the Children's Home Society. The first building there, it has a big Z on it for Zimmerman. It's Curtis and Carrie's place there. But you go back to the end, and it'll say Children's Home Society, and you got to check that out and to see what was going on with the kids. And as far as Christina is concerned, you were talking about that, Rebecca, some of the things that you wanted for her. Mm-hmm. And what are you finding out about her that she really, really wants to do?
She is incredibly interested in animals. She is, she just loves all animals. She loves learning about animals and particularly horses. That is currently our thing that we're working toward is horseback riding lessons. And I'm using that as a reward for learning good school habits because she's super smart and it's just the habits and the desire isn't there. So we're using, I'm using the horseback riding as a something to work towards. So, and she's doing great. So I really think that she will be doing something with animals. She just has a connection to them. So.
Yeah. You may want to call Mike Jones out at the Tallahassee Museum. Mm-hmm. He's the animal guy.
Oh, she would love
out
that.
There. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every now and then he can be induced to give people the behind the scenes.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah, she would love that.
Yeah. And if you have ever heard a Florida panther purr, that is unbelievable. But you have to kind of get, you know, in the back,
right,
in the back
right.
area. So give Mike a call.
Yeah. Right.
Telling Flanagan, ordered him to give Christina the backwoods
okay.
tour there because it's very, very cool.
Sure.
Donna joins us on line one. Welcome to Perspectives, Donna.
How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. Thanks for calling.
I've always been a really big a supporter of Children's Home Society, and I've, as a former teacher, I've seen firsthand in special education a lot of the children that have benefited through Children's Home Society. So I just want to say thank you, first of all. But I've been kind of out of the loop for a while. Are there mentoring opportunities available with children through Children's Home Society? And if so, who would we contact for that?
Nick Rains, that looks like your bailiwick there. You jump right in.
Yes, I thank you for your call. And we do have mentoring opportunities, and you could definitely call me. I'm over the Independent Living Program. My number is 850-510-7912. Again, it's 850-510-7912. The thing is that I'm just available to give any type of advice that any young adult may have. And then at the same time, I have other resources that I could probably plug them into some other mentoring programs. So just feel free to give me a call, and we'll put you in the right direction.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. And for Sam's culinary development, you say he's going to go on to culinary school and try to fulfill that aspiration then, right, Nick?
Yes. Sam has some big goals and aspirations, and Sam already has a signature banana pudding that he may have on display at the My Wish event. So if you guys want to check that out, you probably want to be there for that.
You
so
should you have brought have, some.
Yes, I mean, we haven't made it yet. You haven't made it yet. So you got the people
you
that
come to the event.
Exactly. To come to partake of that, you probably have to come to the event. But Sam already has like a menu in already in his head designed of what he would like to have on his menu for his restaurant. He has his name already. I don't want to put his name out there because he's told me he won't nobody steal it. So I'm not going to say it on the air, and I'm going to reserve that for him. But Sam is very, very passionate about being a chef. I mean, he was going to school. He was going to TCC, and you know, the traditional setting, going to class and things of that nature, you know, before you actually enter into your major. And he wasn't really doing that well with the coursework, you know. So I was just talking to him like, man, I mean, what do you really want to do? Because there's other options like a trade school, you know, a vocational school. Like, if you really know you want to be a chef, then why wait? Let's just go to Lively and just focus on being a chef. And so when I said that, he kind of like lit up, like, wow, I mean, I could do that. I was like, yeah, man, like, you can just go. We went to Lively and everything. He looked at the programs. He already got himself enrolled for the future. And so he's just at TCC right now. He's going to transfer over to Lively starting January and become the chef that he wants to be.
Wow, that is terrific. And he comes into this profession at the right time, because talking to some of the folks who were here last week for the impact of the arts on the local economy and finding out what's going on as far as the growth in the local hotel and other hospitality industries, we're getting a bunch more restaurants in here. He ought to be able to find a gig as soon as he's out of Lively.
Yes, and he also has a catering background as well, because, I mean, and then right now he's working for Uber Eats, so he's doing everything that has to do with food, you know, so he has a lot of experience already he's bringing to the table.
Wow. Well, we'll be following him. Is there any way, really, Nick, to go back in time and say, had not Sam encountered the folks and you at Children's Home Society, what might have happened?
Well, you know, Sam, he spoke about that on a video we're going to show again at the Wish event. And what he said, Sam, just to get a little bit about his background, Sam was involved with a couple gangs. And he said himself that if he would not came in contact with Children's Home Society, he may be still doing that. He may be still roaming the streets and doing gang-related activity. So he really appreciates the opportunity he has with Children's Home Society.
Wow, yeah, having a much closer relationship with Sheriff McNeil than perhaps he'd like.
Exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, just a few minutes left to go. And Lindsay Elliott, I want to give you an opportunity once again to give in a big plug here for the Wish Upon a Star event that is coming up later on. It's all yours.
I am so glad to do that. Once again, Wish Upon a Star's 7th annual fall fundraiser benefiting Children's Home Society coming up here, I think, two weeks away. We're on Friday, October 20th, starting at 6 p.m. It's going to be one heck of a party, guys. We've got six local restaurants, including Andrew's, Blue Halo, Lux Catering, Shell Oyster Bar. We're going to have just amazing cuisine. Everybody's going to be doing their own chosen highlighted cuisine station, lots of past food. We'll have obviously full bar, live jazz band will be playing throughout the evening. And we've got one heck of a live auction presentation. And of course, we're going to have the video, which we cannot wait to share with everybody and to highlight both Sam and Christina and their journeys, you know, through the programs with CHS. We're very, very proud to have found them and thankful for their contributions. And, of course, Sam's famous dessert. We all can't – none of us have tried it yet. He's going to bring it out. So it'll be a fun night. Please visit our website or reach out. We'd love to have more people in attendance. We have a few sponsorship opportunities left, pretty much filling up on that as we get down here to event time. But we're expecting a wonderful night. Jazz Under the Oaks is our theme, and it's going to be a great party.
Okay, we will be sure to catch you then October 20th, the 7th fall fundraiser for Children's Home Society, Wish Upon a Star, under the pines and the oaks and everything else out there at Goodwood Museum and Gardens. So, Lindsay Elliott, thank you so much for coming on. Nick Rains, all our best to Sam. Can't wait to try that special banana pudding dessert of his, which will be part of this gala as well. And I can tell you're really proud of this young guy.
I really am. I mean, their success is our success. You know, being in this job is like, first of all, my dream, you know, my passion. So it's like just to help someone else accomplish their dream and passion, that's what I come to the door for. You know, that's what I love to do.
And Rebecca Simmons, you have a young animal lover there who I think you're going to have a lot of fun with as time goes on.
No question about it. She's changed my life and my family's life and this whole experience and all the wonderful support that we've had from Children's Home Society. I'm just really thankful to be able to
be part of the team to talk about how amazing they are.
And for you, Kevin Winship, to have an organization with so many components and so many ways to serve young people and the older folks who love them, this has got to be something that you really love coming to work every day to do.
This makes it all worth it. Yeah.
Kevin, I appreciate it, as well as to Lindsay, Nick, and Rebecca, and to all the guys at, and you too, Natasha, back there, to all the gang at the Children's Home Society. Thank you for all you do and for sharing that with our audience right here on Perspectives. Again, a quick program reminder that should the occasion present itself where we have to go on air live and let you know what's going on, what's available, what resources are being made in your neck of the woods through city, county, and other service providers, should the storm pose a threat to us this weekend, keep it on 88.9. We'll be here for you. So thank you very much. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance today by Evan and also Lydell back there. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, a preview of Tallahassee's next longest table event. So bring a hearty appetite. We'll sit around and chew the fat and other stuff then.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.